The Geek News Central Podcast for Friday, January 28th, 2005. Are you ready? Here he comes. Aloha, everybody. Welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you all as live as it can be from historic Ford Island here in Honolulu, Hawaii. I am the Geek, Todd, from Geek News Central, and we welcome you to the podcast. Oh boy, it's Friday. Thank God it's Friday. I'm ready for the weekend. I don't know about the rest of you guys, but it's been a fun week, and I've received an extraordinary number of emails and comments from people. It was very refreshing to get those. And I want to go over a couple of those before we get into tonight's content. Now, as you remember, we're running a contest for the best comment for the show, basically the best comment that I can incorporate to change this show and improvement. And if you want to get in on that contest, we're going to announce the winner on Tuesday. But you have to call into the voicemail line at 619-342-7365, and we'll put the information about the contest on the website, which is at www.geeknewscentral.com. First of all, thanks for all the Mac tips. I really appreciate that. And, of course, a couple of things that came to mind and that I took right off of some of the comments that were coming into voicemail was, first of all, Scott. Hey, Scott, I know that you had pretty much been pulling the feed down via the XML, you know, via your aggregator, and we're not dialing in to the actual website very closely and seeing what was going on. But for those of you that are out there, check your feeds, because what we have done is we have broken the podcast out into separate RSS files. So if you're still using the geeknewscentral.com/index.xml, you need to switch that for the MP3 feed to podcast.xml. For those of you that want a WMA extension file, it's very simple, WMA.xml. And for those of you who want the OGG extension, it's OGG.xml. So the reason we broke them out is the same reason most everyone else is. You know, I was carrying a maximum of like 25 entries in my weblog, and within about 4 or 5 days of doing the show, sometimes we were pushing the enclosure post right off the bottom of the XML. So the podcast.xml, WMA.xml, and OGG.xml are strictly podcast post only, and you'll have access. I believe I've got it set to the last 10 shows. So change your podcatchers to those to that URL, and that way you'll be assured to not miss a show if we're doing a lot of posting on the website. I know a lot of people are starting to use FeedBurner as a alternative source, but I'm going to talk about FeedBurner and some experiences that I have had with that in the past, and why we're not going to switch our feed over to FeedBurner. Let's see here. Hey, Mike, I appreciate that you got a laugh out of the last podcast. I'm glad to know that you enjoyed my little Mac Mini expedition that I had. And we want to welcome Sydney to the show. I know Sydney and I are going to be working closely together over the next couple of months. And she has tuned in and is going to be listening to the podcast to get some experience with it. So I'm glad you've tuned in to us. Now, Gary, I want to thank Gary for the suggestion on going and using the, I guess you pronounce it, POTM feeder with the Mac. And Gary, I was one step ahead of you. I had checked that out and actually sent in $4.95 for the registration. And I'm pretty happy with that. We're using that versus the iPodder X on the Mac Mini. Aaron, thanks for the feedback on one of the website posts that I put out. And I know that Jonas is listening to us. And I'm looking forward to talking with you sometime next week over the subject that you left with me on voicemail. I know Dorothy. Dorothy's out there, and I want to thank her for her suggestions on basically the Mac. And also, last but not least, is Sam, who gave me the info that I needed to run the Mac Mini remotely via one of my PCs. And I basically should have known that, but, sometimes you do a brain fart and you can't help it. Now, one of the suggestions we had was that the intro to the show and all my little administrative notes here be shorter, and I was going to try to keep that under 5 minutes, but obviously 6 minutes 16 seconds and I'm not done yet, but we'll continue with the show. Again, the content is at, for the show notes today, is at geeknewscentral.com, and all the topics that we talk about tonight will be linked, including any music if we play at the end. So make sure you go over there and check the site out, and subscribe to the regular aggregator feed with your newsreader. All right, now wait for the application to load here so that we can get into the news of the day. We talked about it last week, I believe, about the New York Times talking about charging for content. And they say they have doesn't have any immediate plans to charge a subscription fee for access to it to its website, but it does hinting that they still might be moving that way. So until the Times do not drop off articles that they basically leave them up for the public for 2 weeks and then they hide them behind their login system, we will continue not to post any weblog articles that link to the New York Times, just because of the simple fact that we can't count on them for having the link be there for the long term. A real interesting story on Boing Boing. A good Samaritan was making a tsunami relief donation, but he was using it with a non-standard web browser called Lynx. It's a text-based browser. It's used by the blind and Unix users. So apparently, British Telecom, who was running the donation management system, thought that it was some sort of hacker trying to break into their system, I guess. And they had the cops come bust this guy's door down and arrested him and hauled him off to jail. And he's out on bail right now, but apparently they weren't able to read their logs well enough to understand that this guy was making a legitimate contribution. So it's pretty sad that if you don't use a browser outside of Firefox or Internet Explorer, that someone may come banging on your door. Now, we all know that the Electronic Frontier Foundation is supporting all kinds of cases, and they're always looking for people to join the EFF through a donation. And I'm being an active EFF member and donator. I want to everyone to pay attention to the upcoming Supreme Court challenge that they have with the MGM versus Grokster, I don't know how you pronounce it. That's one of those P2P sharing programs. But they've got a pretty big battle. And I was reading through the site today, and the number of briefs that they've got up on the site that they're going to be using as part of their appeal documentation, and I guess part of their argument, I guess, I don't know if they've, obviously, they don't have their argument up there, but wow, a lot. If you're a lawyer type or a legal type, it's pretty good read. And if you're not a supporter of the EFF, I suggest that you go out there and support them in any way that you can, even if it's by mentioning them on your weblog and throwing a post up to them and saying, "Hey, these guys are doing good things and are out looking out for." Those of us that are out here trying to defend fair use laws. I did read an interesting security article, and it's by Bruce Schneier. And the title of it's Telephone Monitoring While We're on Hold. We've all dialed into one of those, customer service systems where it asks you to for permission to record the conversation. Well, apparently, when it does that, it starts recording immediately. So I guess these people that are reviewing these calls are hearing, all kinds of quality things. They're like people yelling at their dogs or their wives or their husbands or talking bad about the company, etc. So while you're on hold to any customer service place, and they announce on their, when you dial in that they're going to monitor the calls, put your phone on mute. Or better yet, put it on mute all the time until they come online. They'll wait a few seconds for you to jam the mute button and come back on live. You know, they have no business listening to what you have to say. So a little bit of security information for you all to be aware of. Okay, Engadget. Gosh, you gotta love these guys. They have a how-to on how to turn your Mac Mini into a media center. So I kind of smiled when I saw this because this is exactly what I'm going to do with my Mini when I'm done with what I have to do with it here. It's going to go down on the stereo and get stashed and plugged into my entertainment system. And the laptop that's down there is going to be used for what it was originally intended to be. It was a Linux test system for me. But the article that Engadget has up is quite comprehensive. Has lots of links to the type of tools that you're going to need and adapters and stuff that you can use to get video in and video out, via the FireWire, being able to play it back on HDTVs, the whole nine yards. The only thing that I don't have with my Mini is I didn't get a, they said it had a CDR. I haven't tried sticking a DVD. It should have a DVD player, I would think, in it. I just haven't had time to play with it. I should have read the spec, but I haven't. But anyway, that should be a nice little project to run later. And now that I know how to tunnel into it, control it remotely, it'll be a good time. On another article, one of the listeners complained about me bitching about Microsoft and their software privacy plan to break down on, making people go into their Genuine Advantage program to verify their copies of Windows. You know, he basically complained that I was whining about, people having to do that. And I guess if it's a whine, it's a whine. I still don't agree with it. You know, you verify once, that should be it. He pointed at me the download site saying, you didn't need to do that, but to install, you sure did. You had to go through the authentication process on their spyware program that they made available. But it looks like now Microsoft has decided, even to get Windows updates, that you're going to have to prove to them that you're not running a pirated version. I don't mind that. I've got all my stuff legally registered, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people throughout the world that are going to have issues because they're not going to be able to get updates. I'm sure there'll be hacks that'll come out. People will work around them. But what that's just going to do is it's going to open their operating system up to more issues. Those people that want to steal software are going to continue to steal software no matter what they do. They're going to find workarounds no matter what Microsoft, what roadblocks Microsoft puts in front of them. They're going to find ways to beat the system. Just a fact. So I don't know what they're trying to prove here. They just came out with some of their quarterly numbers for how much money they made, and they've got record sales. So, I don't know. If I'm bitching, I'm bitching, but that's the way I feel about it. I don't think it's fair for what they're doing there. So enough of the whine. I'll continue on. Robert Scoble recommended some earphones, and I've seen these before, and I'm going to go out and order a pair. They're called the 6 Isolator earphones. Pretty impressive dynamic range on them. I think we've actually talked about these once before on the podcast, but I just saw the price. I'm wearing a set of Bose Acousmatic noise reduction headsets right now, and oh my goodness, $149 for these earphones. I think I'm gonna pass. But those of you that are looking for a good set of earphones, go ahead and check this out. I didn't see the price until just now, so it kind of floored me they'd charge $149 for these little earphones. My wife is in the office with me here tonight. She's searching the net, doing some research. Being Japanese, she has a distinct advantage here in Hawaii that there's message boards that she can go on to, kind of like an eBay-type deal where Japanese people that are living here in Hawaii put stuff up for sale, and she goes and scours those every night for good deals. And, I go through and try to look at what she's looking at, and obviously it's all in kanji or katakana, and I can't read it. So every once in a while, she scores a really, really good deal on something. So those of you that are listening to the program that are here from Hawaii, you've got a Japanese-speaking person in the house, here, there's a tip for you, freebie tip. Google, they've released their video search beta. And I played around with it for a little bit today. Really impressive what it comes up with. And it's amazing what you can find. So be careful. Some of the results may not turn up work-safe information. But if you're looking for a video on a certain type of topic, you should be able to find it with this new beta search for videos. I'm watching my computer right now. I have... I think we lost some recording there for a little bit. I'm going to pause and make sure that we're okay here for a second. Stand by. I guess we're all right. Looks like we didn't lose anything. I'll know more when I play it back completely. But hey, that's part of the problem with recording to a PC. Every once in a while, the computer will choke. I do have this going down to a digital recorder as a backup, so... If the computer recording's messed up, we'll just pull it off the digital recorder and process it up and send it up that way. Okay, on G4 Tech TV, or the old Tech TV site, they're doing a podcast now. So I'll put the link up for the site and their reference for their podcast. And check that out. Should be a good show. We'll see what it is. I haven't listened to it. Give me some feedback. Let me know what you think. SC Magazine talks about a mobile virus that are infecting Lexus cars. And it's kind of an interesting article, and they don't really make it clear whether or not the cars were totally infected or not. But it says Lexus cars may be vulnerable to viruses that affect them via mobile phones. Land Cruiser 100 models, LX470s and LS430, have been discovered with infected operating systems that transfer within a range of 15 feet. So in other words, they have a way that they've actually been able to infect these cars. Kind of scary if you think about it. Your operating system has a virus on it, and you're driving down the highway, and all of a sudden maybe the brakes don't work or something worse. So I guess it's something we're going to have to watch out as cars become more ingrained and have more of an operating system type structure. I know a lot of them do already, but I thought most of them were closed loop and non-accessible. But apparently these Lexuses are networks are accessible. So Wi-Fi hacked to a car, not good. On the rumor front, there's some rumors about a possible Cirrus and XM merger. Both of them are denying that that is happening, but I kind of been expecting something like this to possibly happen. Cirrus has made big gains in their subscribers, while XM has made moderate gains, even though XM is getting ready to put up another satellite, the fourth satellite. Their first two satellites were nicknamed Rock and Roll. I don't know what the third one was, but maybe the fourth one's going to be owned by Cirrus or something. It's going to say on the side of it when they get all done. But anyway, they've tried to been putting the water on the rumor flames and trying to say, no, we're not talking. But We'll see. We'll see what happens. I think it would, I don't know if it'd be good or bad at this point, but Cyrus definitely has the upper hand on XM. Okay, on the Mac Mini front, and I won't go too much into this, Target had announced that they were going to sell Mac Minis, and they were going to be giving a 10% discount. So you figure $4.99 minus 10%, and you have $50. Wow, big savings, right? Actually, it is, considering that Apple doesn't typically discount any of its products. But that announcement that they were going to be doing that was retracted, and it's not on the Target site anymore. So maybe Apple came and did them a smackdown, said you can't sell them at a reduced price. But apparently Target is claiming that it's only removed the listings temporarily because of availability concerns. Okay, we know there's availability concerns because, you know, they only had 20 Mac Minis here at the Apple Store in Honolulu. Hello, they can't get more than 20 for a product launch. Obviously, they're going to have a problem getting them shipped to big chains like Target. If any of you are running MySQL on Windows, you will want to take a look at this security issue that's out there. Apparently, they're being hacked, so that you're going to need to go out and make sure that you are patched correctly and you have everything set up the way, you know, basically default installations are coming under attack and being turned into bots, opening up some ports, etc. But the information's on the eWeek reference, excuse me. InfoWorld is saying that the RIAA has filed 717 new file trading lawsuits. So totally, the association has sued more than 8,400 people since September 2003. They're going against, going after 68 alleged song swappers using 23 university networks, and they're also targeting user of Kazaa, eDonkey, the LimeWire P2P software. Were among the 717 people sued. So I just wonder, you know, someone has a site that points to some kind of stats on how much money they're collecting from these people. I would figure they're probably getting $3,000 to $15,000 per person. Wow, you know, they're definitely probably pays the lawyer bills to do this. So, and that brings up another thing I saw on Tech Dirt. Where do I have that linked at? Oh, here it is. Tech Dirt's announcing, it's got the title, "Would You Let the MPAA Scan Your Hard Drive?" Broadband Reports notes that not only did the MPAA file more pointless lawsuits against people for file sharing, but they've released a new piece of software to scan your hard drive for you. I'm not letting anyone scan my hard drive, except for Norton Antivirus and my SpySweeper program. No way, no how. I might do it just to see what it says, as long as it doesn't call home. But I don't know how they determine if you have infringing songs or infringing videos or whatever. You know, how can they prove that? You know, I guess I don't know how they prove that you've done that. So I'm going to have to dig into this a little deeper and see how that they're determining whether or not the information you have or stuff that you've got stored on your computer is infringing or not, what they consider infringing. I do want to make a plug for the Creative Commons license. A lot of people, a lot of artists out there are using the Creative Commons license to make their music available. They don't necessarily give up their copyright, obviously, but they do, it is a way to easily bypass some of the traditional issues that come up with listening to music. And of course, one of the big supporters of podcasting thus far has been Magnatune, and they have authorized playing of their library on podcast. long as you're not, I think it's as long as you're not a for-profit podcaster. So I don't know how any of us are even for-profit. You know, we'd like to make a profit, but we got to figure out how to monetize this thing first. The it's a great information on Creative Commons and what's happening in that scene. Of course, the link will be up on the website. All right, now I need some help from y'all. I'm looking for a tracker service, something that I can use that is reliable, that has multiple seeds. I basically need a place to establish BitTorrents. I know that I can do it myself. I can seed it myself. The service I was using before, I'm not real happy with the way that's being packaged up. You basically get a complete folder, and it goes into a separate directory every time. I would prefer that the file itself only get tracked, and it goes into the iTunes or into your Windows Media Player the way it has for standard downloads. I think that's part of the reason why we didn't get very much adoption, was people were seeing that it was throwing multiple folders in their download directory. So if any of you are familiar with a service that is doing tracking and seeding, let me know. I want to, besides Hurricane Electric, I know they're offering it, but the price that they want is beyond what I'm willing to pay right now. And their allotment on total bandwidth use is not good either. Okay, we're 26 minutes in. I am almost done with the content for tonight, but I want to talk a little bit about FeedBurner. I used FeedBurner before for my standard aggregator feed to try to get a few more stats on what was going on with people subscribing to the site. But because I've got a standard RS 2.0 XML, you know, RSS feed on the site, and then I have the podcast and the WMA and the OGG.xml feeds for basically I break it out so that you guys can download the file type that you want. A lot of the podcasters are pushing to use FeedBurner. But what I found was using FeedBurner is I would put up a post, and sometimes it would take a FeedBurner up to 12 hours to pick up that new post. So, you know, the content would be up, but yet when people did aggregating runs on the FeedBurner feed, which it's still actually there, it still works. So I've got, according to the stats at FeedBurner, I've got like 280 people or something is pulling down that feed who had originally signed up with it before I pulled it. But if you're using FeedBurner and you're having good success with it, I need to know about it because I just was not, you know, you do a comparison. See when you post your post and see how long it takes them to pick that up on their site. Unless they've changed their process, which I looked at it today, I don't think they have. I don't think it's a good idea. You know, basically when I put the podcast up on the site and I do the publishing, I want you guys to be able to immediately start pulling that down. I don't want you to wait 12 hours with the type of content that I put out. 12 to 24 hours delay is not at all good. I'll sacrifice the stats that they are supposedly giving us, which are supposedly better stats. And I don't know how I looked at the stats that they were given, and I don't know how it's any better than what I already have. So that's kind of it. So no short show tonight, 29 minutes so far. Let me look through my notes here. Again, I want to thank everyone for all their Mac tips and the multiple calls to the voicemail line to participate in the contest. Again, if you want to get in on that, 619-342-7365, and get your comments in there for the cash prize award that will be announced next Tuesday. Let's see here. I'll go down through. We've talked about all the people that, well, do I have something to say about, I got it written down. Oh, I've been noticing, I don't know how many of you subscribe to, I subscribe to a lot of podcasts. What I've been noticing lately is I've been downloading with Doppler. I've been getting the podcast just fine, but I'll be listening to a podcast, and I'll be 3 or 4 minutes into it, and all of a sudden it'll just cut, and it'll start over again. And I look down at the iPod, and the timer's still running. I'm still 4 minutes into it. Has anybody noticed also that there's a lot of people that are having problems either they're not taken out something that they started that got messed up, or but I've noticed at least 10 instances, you know, at least 10 times in the last week, maybe more than that, where people's shows are 2 or 3 minutes in the show, then boom, it's just like it starts over again, and it's the same show, almost the same content. I know that some of those were openpodcast.org feeds, and I can attribute that to, okay, maybe there's a software issue over there, but some of these were direct downloads from sites, so it's really, really odd. But, hey, we'd like everyone, like I did, I suggested to you, if you're, check your podcatcher clients and make sure that you change your pointer to www.geeknewscentral.com/podcast.xml. If you're driving your car and you don't want to, if you for some reason forget that URL, go to the website, scroll down 3/4 of the way on the right-hand side of the page, and you'll see a MP3 podcast, WMA podcast, and a OGG podcast, and then the standard orange and white buttons that you all know and love that point out where there is a RSS feed at. So, thanks, everybody, and keep the phone calls coming. Skype me at Geek News Central, all one word, or drop me an email at geek@geeknewscentral.com, and we'll get some music for you here. Okay, tonight's song is a new song on GarageBand.com. It's by Alos, and the song's called Turnstile. Hope you enjoy. Thank you. X1's Allos Collapsing Machine. You can tell I like some hard rock, can't you? I really do. And I'm an 80s child, you know. I liked AC/DC. I liked Kiss. Oh, you know, all the good hard rockers. And I remember back when I was running track, I used to listen to AC/DC, Back in Black. That was my theme song to get pumped up. So hopefully someday some of that music we'll be able to play. You know, if the RIAA gets their act together and gives us podcasters a pass, I'd love to play some of the music I loved when I was a kid, or a young adult, I guess. But anyway, that's all, folks. We'll see you on Tuesday. And until then, hey, have a great weekend, all right? Ciao.